Let's get super efficient and sync diaries.
Yes, good, okay.
So, what is your plan this Saturday?
I think I'm just going to rent a car, drive to the northernmost tip of Scotland, stand on the cliffs, and just consider the pathetic flimsiness of the human project in the face of nature's enormity.
Okay, so you're not coming Paul's birthday?
Oh, is that Saturday?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go to that.
Okay, yeah.
My guest tonight is Alan Yates, legendary lead singer of The Culprits. Alan, back when you formed the group, what was the music scene like?
I mean, well, look, this was 1965, so, you know, you had people like Pop and Mikey, the Doolallies, Simon Geard, the Bobsons, guys like the Frinton Brothers, you know, the cats like Jerry Frimpton hanging out around that time.
Lots of groups, sure.
Oh, sure. I mean, this was the 60s, so, you know, you had people like the Car Crash Carry-Ons, Frisbee Estate, Donald Easeman. We're talking about 65 here.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I mean?
And were you...
The Make-Believes, Purple Tuesday, the Faces of Lads. We're talking here mid-60s, so Richard Donovan, the Ozones, all those guys, the Hannah Banjos.
Great. Right.
Crackles, Nice Wine and the Dinkies.
Yeah, that's...
Trent Houlihan. I had a hell of a good time with the Babcock Boys. Yeah. Henton's Retreat.
We haven't got
the Duct Tape Mice.
We haven't got lots of time, Alan. So just okay. Would you say you preferred the live performance or the songwriting?
Mm, the writing, I'd
yeah.
say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know, you had chords like G major, C minor, you know, A flat major.
Lots of chords.
Oh,
yeah.
Also, I mean, this is mid-60s, so you know, yeah, D minor, B. I had a hell of a time with C diminished seventh. I mean, if you're crying out loud, this was 65, so F suspended fourth. You had C-flat as well.
So how did your life, just moving on, how did your life change, if at all it did, after your first album went platinum?
Well, it's funny, you know, because even with our success, we were still slumming it on public transport.
Oh, really, yeah.
You know, using buses like the 24, 393, the 72.
Okay.
The N10. You had the N8 in those days as well.
Sure.
The 27, the 18.
Yeah, sure.
This was 65, so the 65. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the N10, the 141. You know, I look back with a wry smile at the 46.
Really? What's it like now, looking back?
Mm. Well, look, you know, we sit here and chat about the 60s using words like looking back. What's it like? Sit here, chat, 60s.
Okay, Alan.
Words like okay, Alan.
Alan.
Alan with a question mark. A tutting sound.
Okay, Alan, we really only have time for one final question. And I feel I already know what your answer's going to be. So, Alan, what's your favourite decade?
The 1870s.
Oh, really?
It's an amazing sort of scope of industrial change.
It's Alex and Ben, the pin.
Do you want a drink, by the way?
Oh, yes, please.
All the more galling, then, that we haven't got any.
Sir, Mr. Bond, how do you feel now whilst the red laser makes its way towards that most tender, most sensitive groin area?
Well, you're going.
Up for helping me?
Not really. Now, for real business efficiency, we're trying a new tactic with these next few sketches. Rather than waste time having characters set up the scene, I'm just going to tell you the setup in advance so we can go straight in with the jokes. So, for the first one, you may not know that in Arab culture, a sheikh may marry multiple women, but he has to treat each and every one exactly the same. So, I wonder how he gets on with his Christmas shopping. Not very well, I'm sure. Here we go.
What's the problem, Sarge? It's got jam in the middle, just the way you like it.
Alex, that's completely the wrong sketch.
Yeah. Sorry, my page order still isn't 100%.
Okay, well, for efficiency, for market,
efficiency
for efficiency's
exactly,
sake,
yeah.
Let's just start with that one.
Okay.
So really quick, the setup for that one is that American cops, or coppers, are known for their love of donuts. So how would they react to the news that they're going donutting down the Madison River? Surely there'll be some sort of mix-up. Let's find out.
You'll have heard this before, being a chair and all, but I love your legs.
That's completely wrong again. Oh.
Sorry, because it's not Roman numerals.
It's not
exactly,
it's
no, that's
numbering,
the mistake.
Okay,
yeah.
Very quickly then for that one, the setup for that sketch is that podotrophia is a condition in which you think everything is a chair. So what if a sufferer of that condition went to a nightclub known for its enormously high bar stools, looking to meet a woman with long legs? Surely that wouldn't be straightforward at all. Well, let's find out.
1 rupee for you, Sheikh Allah.
Well, the Sheikh one, isn't it?
Sorry. And we were doing
the chair one. Okay, very quickly, the Sheikh one. As you know, in Arab culture, a Sheikh may marry multiple women, but he has to treat each and every one exactly the same. So I wonder how he gets on with his Christmas shopping. Not very well, I'm sure. Here we go.
It was always inevitable. Pin striped suits. Pin numbers.
How are we back
there?
I
don't know. I honestly don't know how about...
Oh. Right, complete failsafe here. I'll actually begin the first line of the sketch. You'll know exactly which one it is.
Clever. Very clever.
Okay, so the context for this next one is it's a quiz sketch. where the quizmaster asks contestants for synonyms of words, but hilariously where the contestant answers with a synonym, the quizmaster thinks the contestant is just saying something else, which leads to a lot of hilarity. So if he says, what's a synonym for pardon? The contestant says, sorry. The quizmaster says, okay, I'll repeat it. And the contestant goes, no, I was just saying sorry, it's an answer to synonym. And he goes, oh, why are you apologizing? And so on. So very, very funny. Okay, here we go. Contestant, give me a synonym for go away.
Robin Hood, you say your men are merry.
Not even in the script. Not even in the written script.
That's a pure panic from me.
Robin Hood.
Just someone taking Hood down a couple of
Yeah, I'm not
pace.
Interested in yeah. what it is. Show me what you've got next. Show me next. Right, that's correct, so do that. Don't. How the hell is Robin Hood a synonym for go away?
I guess it'd be in some kind of parallel world where language
not
is
Not a genuine question.
No. Okay. And cheese strings. I mean, what are those about?
Completely agree. So gross.
I prefer hummus.
Big time.
God, it's so refreshing to meet another actually mature 7-year-old.
Hey, you know, we should tell our parents we want to do the school run together.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. What do your parents do?
Oh, well, my dad's a civil servant.
Civil servant, nice. Mm. Nice.
What about your dad?
My dad's a fireman. Which is quite...
All right, mate.
What?
I kind of thought you'd have grown out of the whole my dad's better than your dad thing, but, cool.
No, he's genuinely a fireman.
Yeah, all right, fine. What does your mum do?
She's an astronaut.
Piss off!
No, really, they're just a wonderful and unusual couple.
Oh, well, yeah, and next you're going to tell me that your brother works for MI5.
How do you know Theo?
I'm done with this.
No,
I'm done.
So,
see you later.
It's so aggravating that you're being turned against me by my genuine familial circumstances.
Hmm. That is some pretty prodigious verbal dexterity for a 7-year-old.
See, we're like 2 peas in a pod.
But do you actually like peas?
All green veg.
Persuasive.
So how's about that school run?
All right, you're on.
Wicked. It's my uncle who drives me in, so I'll tell him to clear some space in his mobile.
Oh, what's his job?
He's Batman.
I got sucked in again!
The Pin.
Benny, is that lad's uncle really Batman?
How many times do I have to tell you, Alex? I am trying to find out.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, Benny, I've worked out what I'm going to do when we've conquered the stock exchange.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, set up my own clothing line.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, one that stretches right across the garden. Massive one. Like.
I thought you wanted to set up a fashion label.
That would cost too much, wouldn't it? Oh. Surely.
Gin and tonic, please. Thank you.
Hey. Don't I know you from somewhere?
I think so, pal.
No, I definitely recognise your voice. Were we at school together?
Sure, yeah, we were at school together, yeah. Bye, mate, have a good night.
No, it's not school. I'd remember you if it was school, but... God, your voice is so familiar. Are you an actor?
Well...
Yeah, that's it. Hey, lads, this bloke's a famous actor.
No, don't get
yeah, hey, Gaz, Plopper, bingo. Wait, where do you know this guy's voice from?
Okay, so listen, I just do voiceovers.
Oh, she's from an advert.
No, not an advert.
It's... Well, what voiceover then?
Seriously, mate, you don't.
Oh, come on, mate. Where's your voice from?
Just I'd say to you honestly now, walk away.
It's just a bit of fun, pal. Hey, Stu, Jenna's, preach, get over here.
It's genuinely don't.
We're just having a laugh, mate. Come on, where's your voice from? Come on, everyone, everybody in the pub, everyone in the pub, everybody in the get them in on the street, everybody here in the pub. It's just a bit of fun, everyone here in the pub. Everybody, is everyone listening in the pub? All right, everyone ready? Now. Where do I know this guy's voice from?
Fine, but this is your doing. Thank you for calling the UK Fish Fetish Club. Press 1 for fish dogging. 2 to hear a pair of mackerel at it. Or hold to hear a fishmonger do the bucket thing with offcuts.
No, I think it is school. It's school. I know.
The Pin.
Now, no doubt our stock took a little bit of a tumble when Alex messed up the synonym quiz sketch.
Well, to be fair, Benny, I have now found that missing page.
Okay, we'll try again. Contestant, what's a synonym for go away?
He called my bluff. Clever.
So with our stock price tumbling, we thought that an easy way to boost it again is simply selling out to the man. So we've been told by the Microphone Marketing Board that if we big up microphones, there's a grand in it for us.
A grand sum, around £1,000, I think. So we're going to do a few scenarios now to illustrate how useful microphones are, not just for radio, but in everyday situations too.
Scenario one, two people in a packed restaurant try to get the waiter's attention.
Excuse me. Hello, excuse me. Gosh, the waiter can't hear me.
A latte and a bill, or I'll torch the place.
Scenario two. So he'll torch the place.
Lousy service, place got to burn.
Wow. Scenario two. You run a microphone shop.
Hey, man, can I buy a microphone?
Sure. Final scenario.
Oh, please, let me out of your crypt, Dracula, please.
No, I've lured you here to suck your blood and commit you to the shadows.
But wait. I've got a microphone.
I genuinely don't care.
Not always helpful.
Yeah, he's the Lord of the Undead, not a microphone collector.
Yeah, get real about Dracula wanting a mic, guys.
To be honest, Alex, I'm not sure the microphone shop scenario really works.
Too specific.
Yeah, and the restaurant one is just nuts.
Yeah, because you have to get to the restaurant early and plug it into an amp.
Hire an engineer.
You then heap your table high with cables. No. It's hardly an advert for Michelin star dining, is it, Benny?
So actually, you can keep your money, Mike Marketing Board, because your product stinks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, in fact, we're not going to use mics for the rest of this recording.
We are for this.
It's the right situation for this, yeah. Okay.
You're listening to The Pin.
Good soldiers of this isle, I give you, my husband, your king, Richard the Lionheart.
My warriors, before we leave for the Holy Land, I make you this promise. We shall return with scars, with bruises, with broken limbs, but so too with that piece of majesty long thought lost, the Holy Grail. So, let us sally forth to bring back that...
Sorry, Richard.
What?
Also, we're out of kitchen roll.
So, kitchen roll?
Just if you're nipping out.
What, nipping out? I mean, okay.
What?
Well, nothing. I mean, don't we have loads of kitchen roll?
Okay, just because you never cook, Richard.
All right, fine. Fine, we'll pick up some kitchen roll.
Thank
fine, can
you.
I just...
Yeah.
So, my noble men, off we venture in search of that hallowed cup.
And some kitchen roll.
And also some kitchen roll. Soon, my brothers, this great nation will...
Also, the dry cleaning.
You know, in my head, I'd always build this trip to you as very much Grail-based.
Which I'm not asking you to change the whole schedule.
Okay,
I'm just saying, if you're good, one of us needs to do it.
Okay, fine.
Going out with the boy.
Okay, fine.
Not a big deal, you're making it a big deal.
We go also to collect some dry cleaning. First to Calais.
Oh, if you went to Calais, say hello to my sister.
I barely know Helen.
It's because you never visit.
Oh.
Sorry, Calais, how long's this trip?
8-9 years.
So it's a decade-long lad's trip?
It's not a lad's trip.
Oh, so you won't be drinking?
Okay, I'll have a drink.
So you'd rather go on a piss up with your mates than...
All right. I'll be back in 5 years then.
5 sharp. Don't come stumbling back in 6, waking the kids up.
Right. Well, they'll be teenagers by then
do
anyway.
Do you want permission to go, Richard?
Fine. Thank you.
Soldiers, it is settled. We ride at morn to take back
that... You can post the Christmas...
We're calling it off, genuinely.
The Pin.
Well, we've come to the end of tonight's episode, and it's time for the big reveal. Harry, our technician, has been monitoring the stock market. Harry, how are we looking?
Well, the first thing to point out is that obviously you're not on the stock exchange at all.
Oh, what?
Obviously not. How could a comedy duo be on the stock exchange?
No, but we checked it this morning and we're definitely there. It's The Pin.
That's a multinational called the Pacific Investment Network.
And that's not us, is it?
No.
But the other thing is that someone from the amplification industry has emailed offering you $200,000 as a thank you.
Well, but we pulled a fast one on the microphone lot.
Exactly. This is their competitor, the Loudspeaker Marketing Board.
$200,000? Alex, mate, we've nailed high finance after all.
So what shall I write back?
Just say, piss off.
Okay. And that's sent.
Alex, why the hell...
Yeah, that is a very tough time for me to find the missing page from the synonym quiz sketch. Anyway, why read it out? Saw it and just pulled the trigger. Bang.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's for the best. In this crazy world of mergers and shares, you got to know when to get out. Boom and bust, eh, Harry? Boom and bust.
Not really, no.
No?
I'm staggered you got offered that at all.
Yeah, well, I'm staggered you didn't tell us earlier we went on the stock exchange. Were you asleep or something, mate?
No. I was just recovering from what I saw on your laptop.
Well, dear listener, we may not have cracked the world of high finance, but thanks for listening, and, wait. Of course. Don't you see, Ben? How could we have been so stupid? The laptop, the microphones, it's a synapsial circuit. Benny, none of this is real. The whole episode, it's all in your mind. In a few moments, your unconscious brain will wake up, sparking a domino effect.
No, this is real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was way off there. Oh.
The Pin was written and performed by Ben Ashenden and Alex Owen and featured Liam Williams. The producer was Sam Bryant and it was a BBC Studios production. It'll stop now. The Pin.
Martin, can I ask you a sort of potentially embarrassing question?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
Well, it's... I'll just ask it. Basically, Martin, my wife and I would really like a threesome.
Oh.
Sorry, I know it's a bit...
Right, so... So you want me to get out of the bed?
I just think four's too many.
Right.
The Pin.
Well, that's our first sketch. Hello, everyone. I'm Ben. Next to me is Alex, and together we are The Pin. Alex, you look a little bit uneasy.
Well, I'm just thinking about that little situation. Bit late in the day for Martin to be shown the red card.
It's a complete lack of communication.
Well, he'll be gutted.
Mm. Even more so when he gets home to find his house has been destroyed by an earthquake.
What a day for Martin! Well, I tell you what, Benny, he could do with some Christmas cheer.
Ah, yes. You see, dear listener, this week's episode is a Christmas special. The festive market is indeed a crowded one, but we've come up with a way to make ours stand out. Better jokes? More rehearsal? No, by doing it in the height of summer. Zero competition.
So here we go. We've unpacked the tinsel, decorated the tree, hung the mistletoe, and then put it all back in storage because we remembered it's a radio show.
Our hope is that if we do a perfect festive episode, by the close of tonight, we might even be blessed with a Christmas miracle, like at the end of Love Actually, when miraculously the film ends.
So let's kick things off with a traditional pantomime.
And it would be great if our studio audience here tonight could get into the spirit and do a big boo whenever a bad character says something nasty. So let's just trial that and give that a go. Perfecto. Very nice. Let's begin.
Hello, boys and girls. I'm the mayor of these parts, and I really am wicked.
Okay, guys, maybe got a little bit ahead of yourself there. Go on, Alex.
And I really am wickedly good at being nice.
So you wouldn't boo a nice mayor, would you? Far from it. You show him a great deal of respect when you go, pal.
Yes, I'm great at being nice, which of course means evil here in Opposite Land.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'd forgotten that. Yeah. So in fairness, you were right the first time. Well done, guys. They're in Opposite Land, so bear that in mind with your booing. If he says something nasty, that's something nice. And if he says something nice, that's something nasty. I'm sure he'll be fine. Let's go.
And here are a few key facts about me. Firstly, I love Christmas. I hate bullying.
Yes, he likes it, yes.
I liked the film Star Wars Rogue One. Totsy, it's your
personal opinion.
Yeah, up to you. I think a 12-week-old fetus has the status of a human life.
Some of these are tricky.
Well, boys and girls, as the mayor of Opposite Land, it's my job to tell you all about today's national holiday, where for one day, everything is the opposite of the opposite. It's Opposite Day!
I'd forgotten about that too. Yeah. Okay, so that's a double, it's confusing. What should we do?
Shall I just play a sting and move on to the next sketch?
Harry, our technician to the rescue. Yes, thanks, Harry. Ooh, but mate, do you remember? It's Opposite Day.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah. Yes, please, yeah.
Mr. Whittard, I'm going to ask you a few questions about your son, and the more you can tell us, obviously, the quicker we'll be able to find him. Now, where was he last seen?
Just leaving his school, St. Catherine's.
Oh, my son's at St. Catherine's too. Well, how old is Adam?
15.
So is Charlie. Well, they'll be in the same year.
Right, yeah.
When we get Adam back, we'll have to ask them if they know each other.
Yes, that would be, I hope so. Yeah. Mm.
Competitive school, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so what else can you tell me about Adam?
Well, he's quite slim build.
Not much of a rugby player, then?
Well, I mean, he's in the B team, so...
Oh, right, okay. You know what, actually, maybe the boys don't know each other because Charlie's in the A's.
Well, he had a trial period in the A's and then just got...
Dropped.
Injured.
All right, I'll just write injury prone. And what was your Adam wearing when he went missing?
Well, just school uniform.
Okay, cool. I only ask because if my Charlie went missing, for example, I'd be able to say, oh, look out for his form captain's badge.
Okay, Adam would have been wearing a librarian's badge.
So it's not that useful to tell the search team stuff that it's just like, it doesn't matter at all. And what time would he have been leaving the school?
About 4:15.
You sure? Because the after-school activities go on till about 6.
Well, yeah, yes, I'm sure. I know about the clubs.
Well, I could just put left at 4, ignoring school's range of opportunities.
Well, okay, look, he'd have done orchestra at lunch, so you can tell them to look out for his musical instrument.
Oh, a little recorder.
Violin.
The conventional choice.
Does your son play...
Celtic harp. Well, unlike universities, we'll be looking for an injury-prone fiddler.
Well, or maybe don't bother.
What?
Well, it takes a lot to stand out in uni applications. I mean, going missing for the day is a pretty character-building experience.
Well, my Charlie could go missing. He wants.
He hasn't managged it yet.
No, but he could do one better. He could get kidnapped. Eh? What admissions tutor wouldn't notice that?
Good day, Sarge.
I know people. I pick up the phone and he gets kidnapped.
Good day.
Come back. I'm phoning. I'm literally phoning. Hi, Don Giuliani. Hi. Yes, I need you to kidnap my son. History at Durham, hopefully.
Ho, 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 the pin.
Now, guys, it wouldn't be a Christmas episode without a satirical glance askance at the year in news. And you know, Benny, I've been thinking. The difference between a politician and a criminal is that one's a thieving, low-life scoundrel who lies and steals for a living, and the other one's a politician.
Yeah, that is correct, yeah.
Just coming. Sorry, one sec. Bloody change. Just give me a mo, sorry.
No worries. No.
Just one moment.
I can come back.
No, I'm almost there, don't worry. Almost there now.
Ah, hello.
Hi.
Oh, are you selling something?
Well, door locks, but...
No need here.
No.
You're listening to The Pin.
Mr. Churchill, we really should discuss the new rationing order.
Well, yes, but first, more importantly, we need to decide what to do about Goebbels.
Is he really more important than the rationing order?
Much more.
Sorry, I have to disagree.
Well, you're wrong. Goebbels' influence is growing by the day.
Yeah, I know, but we need a decision on the home budget.
Yeah, the budget can wait.
Well, not really. Since when can you wait for...
When it's a question of security.
Yeah, but financial security is a priority. Well,
not when his propaganda is winning, then.
If we want to win, then fiscal plan...
Look, listen. Goebbels is proving even more dangerous than Hitler.
Ooh. What?
Comparing someone to Hitler sort of suggests you're losing the argument.
Sorry?
The extreme, saying someone's like Hitler.
Well, Goebbels is like Hitler. I mean, he's as like Hitler as it's possible to be.
Ooh, everyone I disagree with is a Nazi.
He is a Nazi. I mean...
Wow, okay, if we can't have a reasonable debate based on...
What debate? I mean, everybody knows Goebbels is a Nazi.
Who's everyone? I mean, you only speak to Americans. It's called an echo chamber, mate.
What? Right, look at this. Okay, front page of today's Times, Goebbels becomes second main Nazi.
A British paper slams Goebbels. Imagine my shock. try the Volkischer Beobachter. More facts and less biased articles.
Well, okay, fewer biased articles.
Right, but... grammar Nazi.
Well, I mean, that's...
I've shot myself in the foot there.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 the pin.
It's time now for Ben and I to play Secret Santa.
Now, rules recap. Everyone buys a present for someone else, but nobody is told who's bought for who, proving once again that deception is fun.
So here we go. Let's delve into the stocking and see what we've... Oh, this one is for you, Benny.
Good-o. I'll just unwrap it.
Ooh, I wonder who it's from.
Oh, secret's the fun part.
No, secret, yeah, okay. Sure.
It's my present's a watch.
Mm. Very nice. And I wonder if, Ben, when you look on the other side...
It's been monogrammed with my initials.
Very ooh, nice. How did I know that?
Well, yeah, it's the mystery
the
of
mystery
Secret Santa.
The mystery of
please.
Secret Santa, yes. Well, time to dive into the stocking again and find out what... Oh, no. Hang on. That's it, Ben. There's no more presents.
Oh, someone forgot.
Someone? Yeah.
That's a shame, isn't it? Well, good fun there. No, Christmas is...
Benny, just thinking, because I got... Well, someone definitely did get you the watch, yeah. So just in terms of sort of narrowing it down... Benny, presumably it was you.
It is Secret Santa.
So it remains a mystery. Yeah.
I wonder if it's water resistant.
Up to 400 metres. Yeah.
Okay. excuse me, madam. Is your name Mary Poppins?
Yes.
So that's your bag, is it, going through the X-ray?
It is.
Yeah, you cannot take that on as hand luggage.
Why not?
Well, should we start with the fact you've got a whole hat stand in there? Or...
The bag is within the size restrictions.
Well, that's irrelevant when it contains an armchair, a boutique hotel, and Roger Federer.
That all came up on the X-ray?
That's the tip of the iceberg of what came up on the X-ray, and you know it.
Well,
I've got to confiscate the hotel.
What? Well, sorry, where does it say I can't pack a hotel?
Play the game, Poppins. Can you at least take Federer out, because we need to check his passport?
No, where am I taking Roger out? He's on match point at Wimbledon.
You've got Wimbledon in there.
Finally, a bit of respect for the bag.
All right, just go, enjoy your flight.
Academic, really, as I can fly myself.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
On my wages, duty-free fags are quite the boon.
Yeah, I was going to ask, actually, considering that your magical powers make you infinitely useful for mankind, what's your job?
Edwardian nanny.
Incredibly weak choice.
Hey, Benny, here's a festive one for you. What would you call a deer who's been caught outside during a heavy downpour?
What?
Wet or soaked deer. Or I guess a sopping deer if he's really wet, if he's properly, like, dripping with the stuff.
A reindeer?
Yeah, a reindeer or an elk, any of those beasts could be... Caught in a downpour.
Alex,
bit wet.
You need to focus here, otherwise we're not going to get our Christmas
miracle. No, good point, Benny. Hey, you know, for me, the perfect miracle would be something like a snowman pulling a cracker with one of Santa's helpers. What about you?
The return of capital punishment. Next sketch. John, you wanted to see me?
Yeah, Mick, I just wanted to talk over your satirical cartoon for the morning edition.
Ooh, no good?
Oh, no, it's great. You've got Theresa May as Oliver Twist asking Angela Merkel for more. Really nice.
I'm sensing a but.
Well, but, okay. Yeah. Why in the background are there 50 or so whispering dragons?
Ooh, whereabouts?
Whereabouts? Well, I mean, sat at a table, in the queue. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah, look, there's one.
Yeah, so what are they doing there?
What do you mean, sorry?
Well, I mean, what are they doing in the cartoon?
Don't you think they're whispering?
Right, so are they the press, or...?
The press? No, look, dragons.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what's the point? I don't know what they're saying there.
Yeah, because they're whispering.
No. Look, you can't have random, pointless stuff in a satirical cartoon. It's distracting.
Okay, well, no worries. I've got another option. Okay. Maybe that's... So this one is... it's quite funny. This is Putin in the Bake Off, and he's sabotaging the EU's cake mix.
There they are again.
What?
Dragons.
Where?
In the tent.
Oh, yeah, loads of them.
What are they doing there?
Looks like some sort of sponge.
Okay. Well, that's enough, Mick. Look, I'm really stressed out today. I've got my feet stuck in this giant red canoe. Okay, guys, our next sketch.
Sorry, Alex, sorry, just quick. Yeah. When you wrote that sketch, what was the thinking about the red canoe bit?
Ooh, whereabouts?
Just at the end there, because you've got the editor and the dragon stuff is really good, but what's the editor's feet doing in the canoe?
Well, I think they're stuck, aren't they?
So is that like a metaphor for...
Metaphor? No, look. Canoe.
But what's the point? I mean, I don't know what they're doing now.
Because how did he get it in the office?
No, you can't just have random pointless stuff at the end of sketches. It doesn't make any sense, man.
Sorry, mate, I've been really stressed out today. I'm worried that my eyes are becoming wooden eggs.
No, stop. We're not going to... Move on to the next one.
The pin.
Mr. Formbury, we take the safety of our employees very seriously. So to work out if this is severe enough for compensation, please just describe what happened to you down the warehouse in as few words as possible.
Attacked by wolf.
Wow, okay, that does sound very serious.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, if you let me use maybe one more word, I'd probably go for wasn't attacked by wolf.
So you weren't attacked. Sorry, what's your complaint?
Well, just to clarify, if I just add another three words, it'd probably be I wish I wasn't attacked by wolf.
Sorry, were you or were you not attacked by a wolf?
Maybe the best way is if I just add six more.
Okay, quickly.
Yeah. So the full total would be, I wish I wasn't attacked by a wolf, so was pleased when I wasn't.
I'm bearing my mind here. Sorry, okay, so you actually haven't got any complaint to make?
Well, I don't work here.
Yes, you do, Ed.
Sorry, if you just let me finish, I don't work here anymore.
That is true, yes.
The pin.
Now, Benny, here's another Christmas gift for you, but this one you can't unwrap. You merely sit back and enjoy, because I've developed a brand new skill. I went on a £3,000, 17-week course, and I think you're going to love it. What skill, pray tell? Well, you've always told me to be a better whistler, so...
Listener.
That's a shame. Comes as quite the shame.
Sorry, it's 17-week course.
Well, that number is something of a false friend. Because for acoustics, the course is in an underground cavern. And I actually took best part of 3 weeks to excavate and then another week to climb out of again. So that's 4 weeks prep. So in total, the course was only...
13 weeks.
Still seems long.
Yeah. Where did you dig this cave?
Oh, hard to describe, really. You know Trafalgar Square?
Yeah.
3 week dig, baby.
Which charlatan took your money for this?
I ran the course.
Then why did it cost you £3,000?
This is good. We're getting into it now properly. Good. Basically, yeah, why did it? Oh, because I gave the money to this guy who said he was the Duke of, no. He said he played a Duke in an amateur production.
I don't want to hear any more about this.
And I'm ashamed to explain. So that is hand in glove.
Go on then, whistle.
I still can't, to be honest.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have CJ Gold on drums, Marty Dubman on piano, We've got my main man, Trevor Haldane, on medieval history. Look out for Jody Malone on globalisation and its effects. Sorry, can the band be quiet? I'm trying to read out the lecture list here.
It's Alex and Ben, the pin.
Well, Simon, look, it's a natural instinct to want to research your family heritage. And here at Edwin Family Trees, your past is our present.
Well, my view is, why have a pension if you can't spend it on something fun?
Quite. Well, let's go straight in with the big revelation. Simon Barton, after months of archival digging and painstaking research, I can now reveal that you are a direct descendant of Pippa Edwards.
My mum.
Amazing stuff. And Simon, what about this? County records show that you were born in 1955.
56.
Is it 56?
Yeah.
Is it? I wasn't sure about that. Any more for any more?
What do you mean, any more? Yes, oh. Hopefully a great deal more, considering I've sunk my old pension fund in this, and so far you've just got
bitten by the ancestry bug.
Well,
you want to go even further back.
Can we?
Not with this research, no.
It's such a shame, because, you know, my grandmother's maiden name would have been genuinely interesting to research.
Mm, what is it?
Mozart von Pythagoras to Shakespeare.
Get that checked out.
Yeah. Ho, 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 the pin. How long do we have to keep this charade up?
Now, Alex, would you mind just taking over for a sec? I just want to write my diary entry for today.
Okay. Oh, well, great. Actually, this gives me a chance to showcase a little ditty I've penned, especially for this episode, which I hope is going to have a tilt at the Christmas number one slot. Here we go. It's called Festive Fun. If you want to have fun at Christmas, it's just such a pleasure, not a business. Smile and sing and laugh and bring joy to everything that you do on the big day.
There's Sorry, Alex, how do you spell depressed?
Sorry, depressed.
I think two S's. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah? Carry on with my song?
No.
Okay. Shall I just read a bit from my diary too, then?
Okay, briefly.
Even though...
Good stuff.
Okay. And that game is currently Everton 2, Arsenal 4, but the match at Old Trafford's about to begin, so we'll be crossing live to Jim Ledbetter for his commentary just after the break. All right, Jim, we're back on in 20 seconds. You all set?
Actually, no. Sorry, the match is cancelled here. The stadium is on fire. So...
Oh, God, wow.
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, that's our top story then. Are you ready to give us a report?
Me? I've only ever done football commentary. So
don't panic, you'll be fine.
Mike, my skill set is
right, we're back on in 3, 2... And we cross now to Jim, who's got big news from Old Trafford.
Yes, tonight was billed as City's defence versus United's attack, but so far, Mike, it's United Stadium against nature's flames.
Right, so Jim, there's a fire.
Yeah, and it's hit the stadium's right wing, where we did think United would be vulnerable.
So are the players safe?
Yes, they've been substituted.
Substituted?
With firefighters. A canny ploy, given the conditions here tonight.
Right, and how's the stadium faring with the blaze?
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's on a real knife edge. It's a chess match now between two very different sides. One, a man-made arena. The other, exothermic combustion.
Jim, just in plain English...
Oh, good gracious me, some incredible movement there from the flames as they shift to the centre from that right wing.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
No, not if you're a home fan, but it's cracking for the neutral. I think before kick-off, United would have wanted the win, but now they'll be happy to escape with an insurance claim.
Okay. Well, Jim, are you ready to give us your interview with the home manager?
He's dead.
Moving on, then.
You're listening to The Pin.
I'm really sorry, Darren, it's bad news. They've gone with Ed Sheeran.
You're kidding.
I'm afraid not.
No. Okay, well, that's Regent Street. What about Westfield?
Westfield, they've hired Mylene Class.
What? Well, if they're just using celebrities, what's the point in being a professional Christmas lights turner on?
I know,
right,
mate.
Bushy, who's doing Bushy?
Bushy, Patrick.
Fine, Patrick Jones is a pro.
Patrick Stewart.
The man's an actor! Right, time was, you learned your trade from the ground up. Turn on the odd lamp at home, on, off. Get a feel for it.
Feel free.
Then you graduated to garden lights, again, on, off.
No, I know the system's
well,
good
then
system,
eventually,
yeah.
If you kept your head down, did the hard graft, Christmas. you get a chance flicking on the festive fellas. Now, people like Stuart think they can swan straight
no,
in.
I know, it's so annoying, so annoying. But I think the thing is, Darren, it might be that turning on Christmas lights isn't actually that hard.
And that's from my own agent. Yeah. Okay, well, by that sick logic, why don't we get celebrities to cut grand opening ribbons?
They already do.
That's where that work's gone, then!
Apparently celebs can manage it fine.
Fine. Well, they can cut ribbons fine, can they? Huh. They wouldn't have the gloves, the leggings, the flags, the correct tattoos.
They'd have the scissors.
The scissors are only part of it. I keep telling you that.
Darren, you've had some good years, but maybe this is the end of the road for lights turners on and grand opening ribbon cutters.
Wow. I guess the positive is I'll have more time to run NASA now.
I've always felt that's what you should be focusing
yeah.
on.
Now, nothing says Christmas.
Guys, it'd be good to wrap up soon, please, just to get a head start on the snow.
Snow?
Yeah, snow in buckets outside.
At this time of year?
Yes, the Met Office is saying there's been a freak change in London's ecosystem.
Alex, it's a Christmas miracle.
Oh, we did it. I bet it was the festive magic of that pantomime.
Well, no. They say it's because loads of geothermal heat has been released in Trafalgar Square.
Oh, that would just be Alex's whistling cave.
Alex has got a cave, has he?
Yeah, I said it. I said it earlier.
I don't listen to the show.
Okay.
Well, Alex, I really thought we were building up to a proper Christmas miracle. Maybe next year, eh?
Not so fast, boys. I am the ghost of Christmas past. I'm here to tell you that you did create a miracle. You just didn't notice.
What? When?
20 minutes ago. Let me show you.
Yeah, so here we go. Let's delve into the stocking. Oh, this one is for you, Benny. Good-o. Just unwrap it. I wonder who it's from.
You see, your enthusiasm, your joy, your friendship, in today's day and age, that's a miracle.
Not really.
Oh?
I mean, lots of people are friends.
But your special bond, your...
Yeah, well, no, it's not a miracle, though, is it? I mean, come on, really, the big news here is that a ghost has turned up.
Well, I was hoping to point out...
The headline that, mate, you're a ghost.
Well, okay, but...
Yeah, maybe you should have led with that, really.
Well, just come on and say I'm a ghost.
Well, no, not with that attitude, no.
Yes.
But,
split the difference, still a bit of the kind of ooh
yeah,
stuff
exactly.
as well.
Thank you.
No, but I really think, you know, the friendship thing is...
Off you pop, mate. I think you've done your bit. Oh, sorry. Well, dear listener, as we end our Christmas special, I guess we just have to accept... Here we go.
I am the ghost of Christmas future.
Okay.
Here it is, Benny. Here comes the real miracle.
And I'm here to forewarn you of your miraculous destiny. Before long, you shall be visited by the ghost of Christmas past.
He's just been and gone.
Oh, you're joking. Sorry, yeah, I am running 10 minutes late. Sort of off-season, so I'm a bit out of shape.
Any other predictions? Or?
Yes, you will also be visited by the ghost of Christmas future.
You?
Really, I'm lacking match fitness,
that's
aren't
right.
I?
So. I think just go.
Yeah, I really should have seen all of this coming.
Well, we're at the end of tonight's episode, and we haven't had quite the miracle we'd hoped for. That said, Alex... What say you have another little look in that secret Santa stocking?
Really? Oh, Benny, I knew that you'd... Right, here we go. No, still nothing.
The mystery continues.
The pin was written and performed by Ben Ashenden and Alex Owen and featured Liam Williams, Margaret K. Bourne-Smith and Mark Benton. The producer was Sam Bryant and it was a BBC Studios production. It'll grind to a halt now.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.